Chapter 3. The deep roads are nothing like Alistair has ever seen. Wave after unending wave of terror and darkness. It's worse than Kinloch Hold, far worse than Ostagar. Each new revelation, nothing but another horror. He feels unclean in a way that has nothing to do with the dust in his hair and the blood staining his armor. And the others look like they feel the same. Even Zevran is too quiet. It doesn't get better when they're finally done and headed back to Orzammar. If anything, it's worse, because now every darkspawn he faces reminds him of Hespeth and the Broodmother. He fights on anyway, sick but unwilling to give up and die. They pause to rest a while with the Legion, and Ogryn finds a cask of ale somewhere. Watching him drain mug after mug, Alistair is tempted to join him. Oblivion sounds like a blessing right now, no matter how sore it makes his head in the morning. No one would stop him, and Ogryn makes it plain that he would welcome company in his drinking. What harm is there in one night of forgetfulness? Across the fire, Zevran stands, and their eyes meet for a moment before Zevran walks away. He crawls into their tent without looking back, and Alistair knows that if he joins Ogryn, Zevran won't mention it tomorrow. He can taste the ale already, but when he gets up, he heads for the tent rather than Ogryn and his cask. Zevran says nothing, and neither does Alistair. They move around each other in silence, routines well established by now, and when Alistair lies down, he holds out a faint hope that he'll actually sleep. He does, but the nightmares are more brutal than ever, as if his brain is punishing him for choosing to sleep rather than drink himself senseless. Hespeth whispers in his ear, close as the lover he's never had, and his arms are weak when he tries to push her away, until a hand closes on his shoulder and a voice says his name like it's an order. He comes awake with a gasp, grasping for anything to remind himself where and when he is. That happens to be Zevran's hand and shirt, and Alistair doesn't care how pathetic he looks as he clings to both. "Shh," Zevran whispers. His free hand combs through Alistair's sweat-damp hair. "Shh, tesoro." "Just a dream," Alistair mumbles into his chest without letting go. Zevran laughs, but he doesn't sound amused. "Just a dream? Is there such a thing?" Alistair isn't sure he understands the words. What he does understand is that Zevran isn't pulling away, isn't trying to put distance between them. And that's the only thing that matters right now. He lets himself sink into the steady rhythm of Zevran's hand in his hair, matching his own breathing to Zevran's until he feels calm again. With the calm comes embarrassment, and at last he pulls away, scrubbing his hands over his face and glad of the darkness that hides his blush. "Sorry," he says, vaguely in Zevran's direction. "I'm fine. I didn't mean to wake you." Clutching at Zevran is 100 times worse than needing to be woken by him in the first place. Zevran moves away without answering, and Alistair bites his tongue. If clutching at him like a child is worse than having the nightmares at all, then begging him to come back is the worst possible. Better to wrap his arms around his own chest and sit huddled on his bedroll than admit he wants an Entivan crow to pet his hair for the rest of the night. At first, it's hard to figure out what Zevran is doing. There's an irritated grunt and a series of rustling noises that sound nothing like someone going back to sleep. Even when something makes a soft whoomp beside him, it isn't until Zevran lies down that Alistair realizes he's dragged his bedroll across the tent so they're side by side. If he wasn't a coward, he would protest. But the thought of going back to sleep alone is too terrifying. He'll swallow his pride if it means having someone close enough to touch. Maybe that will keep Hespeth from his dreams. Now all he has to do is convince himself to lie down. The touch on his head makes him gasp, and in that moment of confusion, Zevran pulls him sideways. His head thumps down on Zevran's chest hard enough to pull a small noise of protest from both of them, but Zevran's hand slides through his hair, holding him firmly in place despite that. Alistair's face is burning again, not least because he wants to wrap both arms and both legs around Zevran. He settles for sliding closer and putting an arm gingerly around his waist.
"Tell me about the Templars," Zevran says out of the darkness. "Tell me what you loved best about being one of them."
"That's easy." "Fighting," Alistair says. He's too tired and wound too tight to think of an answer less likely to make someone flinch away. But he imagines an assassin won't think less of him for what is, after all, the truth.
"Yes," Zevran says thoughtfully. "There was more to crow training than learning to wield a knife, but that was perhaps the part I loved most."
His fingernails scratch idly at Alistair's scalp.
"There is joy in it, yes? In testing your body, finding its limits, and then moving past those as well. A kind of pleasure in the pain."
It's the first time Alistair has ever heard him say pleasure without a smirk behind it. In fact, it's the first time Alistair has known him to be serious for longer than a passing moment. He's not sure what to make of that, so he doesn't say anything as he turns into Zevran, settling his head in the hollow of Zevran's shoulder. The fingers in his hair still for half a breath before they begin to move against his scalp once again, rubbing in soothing circles.
"Tell me about the Templars."
So Alistair does. Nothing so coherent as a story, merely disconnected ramblings as thoughts work their way to the surface of his exhausted mind. He's surprised by how much of what surfaces is good. He'd lost track of the happier memories under the weight of that last year, his vows bearing down on him, everyone pushing him towards the final step that would tie him irrevocably to a path he didn't want. Alistair runs out of words eventually. He feels drained, lightheaded from lack of sleep and the memory he can't quite shake, of Hespeth's voice whispering through the darkness. Her song is still waiting to grab him. But Zevran is also there, warm against him.
"Tell me about the crows,"
Alistair says at last, his voice hoarse from talking most of the night. Zevran doesn't tense, but his heart is right under Alistair's ear, and it begins to beat faster. Despite that, Zevran's voice is cheerful when he says,
"Not tonight, Tesoro."
One hand plays idly with Alistair's hair, while the other smooths down his back, pulling him a little closer.
"Not tonight."
Even once they reach the surface, the deep roads haunt his dreams, darkspawn clawing at him as Bronca rants and Hespeth croons her little song that Alistair would dearly love to wipe from his memory completely. He wakes night after night, and he doesn't protest when Zevran lies beside him and whispers to him in Antivan to drown out her voice. After one particularly bad dream, he curls himself around Zevran without shame, almost gagging on the memory of darkspawn blood filling his mouth. Not even thinking, only wanting to remind himself that this is real, he slides his hand under Zevran's shirt, seeking skin, stroking his palm up Zevran's ribs. Zevran twitches violently, and Alistair stills his hand.
"Sorry," he mumbles into Zevran's chest.
"Did it tickle?"
"No,"
Zevran says, the word clipped short. He doesn't pull away, though, and when Alistair tentatively moves his hand around to rest between his shoulder blades, Zevran doesn't flinch. Only strokes Alistair's hair very gently. It becomes another thing they don't talk about in daylight. But somehow, every night after that, their bedrolls end up side by side rather than hard against the opposite walls of the tent. Even when they sleep without touching, there's comfort in knowing someone else is nearby,
that he only has to stretch out his arm to find Zevran's hand in the darkness. Sleeping so close, Alistair learns he isn't the only one plagued by nightmares. Zevran is simply better at masking the signs. The first time it happens, Alistair wakes disoriented, unsure what disturbed him. He rolls over and goes back to sleep before he realizes that each inhale and exhale from the bedroll beside him is too long, too carefully measured. "Zev?" he asks, still half asleep. "Yes, Tesoro?" His tone is mostly right, but only mostly. Alistair hesitates, unsure what to say now. How does he offer comfort to someone who would deny the need for it? This isn't a role he knows how to play. It's much easier to accept Zevran's comfort than to give it to himself. Especially when Zevran makes it easy for him, offering so he doesn't have to ask. "Oh." Without speaking, Alistair slides close enough to rest his head on Zevran's chest. The heart under his ear is pounding so hard Alistair can actually feel it against his cheek. And he wraps his arm tightly around Zevran's waist. It feels odd to try to offer comfort from this position, especially when Zevran threads careful fingers through his hair. But Alistair suspects any more blatant offer would be rejected outright. It's a long time before Zevran's heartbeat slows, and he doesn't let go of Alistair until dawn. When they emerge from the Frostbacks, Broska is kind enough to let them take rooms at the first inn that's large enough to hold the entire party. Alistair has been through too many places by now to bother remembering the names of each, but he feels a certain fondness for this one. It doesn't matter that his fondness has more to do with the nearly sensual pleasures of both a real bath and a real bed than with any particular virtue of the place itself. They stay 3 nights, repairing their equipment and reprovisioning after the walk from Orzammar. The first night, only Ogryn is willing to sacrifice sleep in favor of time in the common room, but the second night they all join him, crowding around a single table together. It's like Alistair's best days as a recruit, the lot of them shouting each other down and stealing each other's food and laughing at jokes no one else in the room understands. He only allows himself one mug of ale, but he eats whatever's put in front of him, reveling in food that isn't dried meat tougher than his boot soles or stew made from boiling that meat with horse feed. He's on his third bowl of real stew when Zevran kicks his ankle under the table. "Ow," Alistair mutters without heat, glancing sideways at him. Ogryn is busy worshipping the tavern's beer, and the others are watching Leliana and Broska try to cheat each other at cards, leaving Alistair and Zevran a temporary bubble of quiet. Or at least, what had been quiet, until Zevran decided to kick him for no apparent reason. Zevran widens his eyes and glances deliberately to one side, his meaning clear. Alistair follows the line of his gaze to find one of the servers watching him. When his eyes meet hers, she smiles, and he flushes, looking hastily back down at his food. Before he can decide what to do, she's crossing the common room to stand at his elbow, closer than strictly polite. Her breasts are just brushing his shoulder, and her smile is sweet rather than predatory. But Alistair ignores both and shakes his head when she asks if there's anything else he wants. As soon as she's gone, Zevran gives his ankle a second, harder kick, and this time there's a little irritation in Alistair's voice when he says, "What?" "I do not believe she is the type of woman to appreciate coyness," Zevran says. "She appears to be a bit more direct." "Well, then the two of you would get along great," Alistair says, growing more irritated without understanding why. Zevran rolls his eyes so hard his entire body is involved. "Her interest is in you, Tesoro, not me." Alistair's flush deepens. "I know," he mutters. "I'm not stupid. I can tell when someone's interested in me."
The silence from beside him is complete, no matter how noisy the rest of the tavern is. And Alistair turns, just enough to see Severin's face. He's wearing the oddest expression, but after a moment, Alistair decides he's trying not to laugh. "I can," Alistair insists. "Of course," Severin says. He picks up his mug to take a long drink, and Alistair would swear it's to hide his face, though he can't say why he thinks that. Before he can work it out, Severin lowers his mug and asks, "Is she not to your taste, then? You certainly appear to be to hers." Alistair glances in the direction the woman went and finds her looking back at him, her smile undimmed. He looks away again, determined this time to keep his eyes on his food. "I'm not interested," he mutters. Severin makes an agreeable noise, but rather than let it go, he asks, "If she does not appeal to you, then what sort of woman would?" The blush is returning, creeping across his cheeks. "I don't see why it matters." "Because the road has been long, and kissing a pretty girl is a good way to forget for a while." Severin is smirking. Alistair can see it from the corner of his eye. "And as you lack experience, I wish to lend you mine, at least so far as finding someone to kiss." "I think she wants to do more than kiss," Alistair says, darting another quick glance at the server. She's on the other side of the bar now, leaning on it with her arms folded under her breasts to put them on display. Her shirt is open over her bodice, and for a moment, Alistair thinks about licking the curves of skin showing there, unlacing her dress so he can cup her breasts in his hands. He's not entirely sure what that would feel like, but he remembers the softness of them against his arm, and he imagines them filling his hands as he kisses her. Thoughts of kissing lead him back to Zephyrin, though, and that memory is far more interesting than some vague fantasy, which is embarrassing and not anything Alistair is interested in sharing. "Would it be so bad," Severin asks, "if she wanted more than kissing?" "Yes," Alistair says, too loud and too honest. His face is on fire, and he keeps his eyes on his supper as he explains. "I'll just make a fool of myself when she realizes I don't know anything, and I don't really want to be laughed at." "Why would she laugh?" He sounds puzzled, which only irritates Alistair more. "Because I don't know anything," he says, low and fierce. "I'm old enough she'll expect me to know something, and when I don't, she'll either mock me or be disappointed, and I don't want either." "If your age is the problem, it will only get worse," Zevran points out. "And she looks the friendly sort. I doubt she would laugh. Perhaps she would even enjoy the opportunity to show you new and interesting things." Alistair makes a skeptical noise and puts a bite of stew in his mouth to save himself the trouble of answering. "You may be surprised, Tesoro," Zevran says. "There is a certain pleasure in showing someone." "All right," Alistair interrupts, desperate to stop him from providing any details. "Fine. Maybe she would enjoy it. But you don't know that, and I'm the one who'd get laughed at if you're wrong. Now, can we talk about something else?" "As you wish," Zevran says. He tilts his head at Leliana and Broska. "Would you care to wager on our friends there?" Alistair snorts, glad to be back on familiar ground. "I'm not stupid enough to bet you about anything."
"Not anymore, at least."
"You wound me," Zevran says, hand to his chest. "I will even allow you to choose where to place your money." "Still no," Alistair says, scraping the bottom of his bowl to get the last of his stew. He wants more, but not enough to brave the server again. Or rather, not enough to brave his own puzzlement over his reaction to her. All his words to Zevran aside, the thing that's stopping him is that he'd rather sit here talking with Zevran than find out what she might have to show him. Which is utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous or not, that's exactly how he passes the rest of his evening. Sitting beside Zevran on the bench, talking and idly watching Leliana and Broska. He laughs and occasionally blushes and doesn't think about his lack of experience or possible remedies for it at all. But alone in his room that night, he does think about it, so much he can't sleep. It's also not the serving woman, pretty as she was, who fills his thoughts. He thinks of Zevran instead, of kissing him in the firelight beside Lake Callenhad, of what it would feel like to do more than kiss. The thought of Zevran naked against him has Alistair reaching under the blankets to stroke himself. And it's definitely not a female face he imagines in the last moment before he spills into his own hand. Afterward, he can't sleep, drained but oddly restless. Embarrassed, too. And it's the embarrassment that keeps him awake long into the night, refusing to admit what he wants. The need for sleep wears down that embarrassment eventually, and he pads quietly across the hall to Zevran's room. When he slips inside, Zevran's voice asks, sympathetically from the darkness, "A nightmare?" Alistair hesitates, then lies. "Yes." There's a rustling noise, and Alistair knows Zevran is pulling back the blankets. "Then come to bed. It will be better in the morning." As they circle Lake Callenhad, the nightmares ease off for real, and Alistair thinks about moving his bedroll away from Zevran's. They've only slept so close because of his nightmares, and now that he doesn't need the comfort, he shouldn't take advantage of Zevran's friendship. Every night he tells himself to move away, to give Zevran a little space, and every night he does nothing of the sort. When he feels guilty about it, he reminds himself that Zevran has nightmares of his own. It's easier to know to wake him if he's close enough to touch. After all the comfort Zevran has given him, isn't it right to give something back? And besides, just because Alistair doesn't need that closeness doesn't mean he doesn't want it. On the nights when they lie curled together, Alistair lets his hand slide under Zevran's shirt until the movement is as natural as turning to Zevran in the first place. He maps out the curve of Zevran's spine and the edges of his shoulder blades and the arc of his ribs. He learns the way the muscles move as Zevran shifts to stroke his hair, and he learns the ridges of every scar. Some nights, he wants to map that same terrain with his mouth, to learn what Zevran's skin tastes like. He wants to learn all the things hinted at in Zevran's jokes, and he wants to practice them on Zevran's body, have Zevran show him with his own body. But Zevran's kiss was a joke, a favor for a friend, and Alistair won't risk that friendship. He wants more, but he wants this even more. Three days out from Redcliffe, Zevran wakes from one of his infrequent nightmares. This one grips him harder than usual, and he catches Alistair a solid punch to the face before he wakes completely. He apologizes at least half a dozen times, but it's the shaking in his voice that hurts Alistair, far more than the bruise that's already beginning to swell his eyes shut. "It's fine," Alistair tells him, again and again. About the time he thinks the words have finally sunk in, he accidentally starts the process all over again by searching through his bag for a bit of elf root salve. There's no subtle way to do that, and Zevran apologizes yet again as he takes the salve away to dab it on Alistair's cheek. "Zevran," Alistair says at last, making his voice as firm as he can, "stop. It's fine." He doesn't wait for an argument, just gets them both lying down again, his head on Zevran's chest. "It's fine," he whispers, his hand slipping under the hem of Zevran's shirt to rest on his stomach. Zevran's breathing stutters, then evens out again, so tightly controlled he might as well be sobbing. For a long time, Alistair listens to those careful breaths and waits for Zevran to calm down, the way he always does. Not tonight, though. His breathing stays steady, but it's not a natural rhythm, and his heartbeat is too fast. Alistair has never pried into Severin's past, but now he wonders if it would help to talk about it.
Tell me about the crows.
Severin laughs softly.
Not tonight, Tesoro.
His heart thuds heavily in Alistair's ear, at odds with his cheerful tone.
Sorry, Alistair says. I didn't mean...
You have nothing to be sorry for, Tesoro. He combs his fingers through Alistair's hair.
Nothing at all.
There's no way to know from his tone if Severin means that the Crow Masters have things to be sorry for, or whether Severin himself is sorry for something. But tonight isn't the night to ask. Alistair turns them both onto their sides facing each other, wraps his arm tight around Severin, and tries to sleep. Redcliffe is its own horror, if a more private one. The way the Deep Roads tore at Broska. Alistair is torn by seeing his home overrun with undead. Whatever the circumstances in which he left, this is more his home than anywhere he might have slept while with the Templars. Worse, the fighting brings back memories of Kinloch Hole to torment him. Long hallways full of blood and corpses. That night, in his dreams, a Templar begs for the Maker's mercy while Hespeth explains in her dead voice how little mercy there is to be had. Alistair struggles to wake and can't. Alone in the room, Isolde provided for him, occasionally surfacing long enough to know he's dreaming without being able to wake completely. He neither knows nor cares what time it is when the nightmares at last release him. The only thing that matters is that Severin is close, a few doors down on the opposite side of the corridor. When he slips into the room, Severin says nothing as he holds up the blankets to let Alistair slide between them.
You were right, Alistair murmurs, as he presses closer to Severin.
I am always right, Severin says into his hair. You should know this by now, Tesoro. But what, in particular, am I right about this time?
After Kinloch Hold, you said I would see worse, and I didn't believe you.
Ah, Severin says, a pause no longer than a breath. I wish I had been wrong.
Me too, Alistair says.
Severin laughs softly and wraps an arm tighter around him.
I will try to be wrong more often, he says, as a favor for a friend.
After Kinloch Hold and the Deep Roads and Redcliffe, Alistair is dreading what they might find in Haven. But it's easier than he expects. The cultists don't crawl under his skin and into his head the way Hespeth did, and he finds it easier to remember Severin's words, to remind himself that whatever horrors he sees, he doesn't have to pick away at all the maybes and might-have-beens. He can mourn for the dead without letting them destroy him. Even the Guardian's questions don't bother him long. Ferelden would be better off if Alistair had died in Duncan's place at Ostagar, but there's no changing that path now. Duncan is dead and Alistair is not, and perhaps he isn't doing too poorly by his country after all. Alistair is more taken aback by Severin's reaction, by the harsh note in his voice as he cuts short the Guardian's question for him. Severin is angry so rarely, and quick to deflect with humor or innuendo, rather than allow anyone to see they might have struck their mark. That humor is nowhere to be seen now. He stalks through the gauntlet in silence, speaking only when spoken to. Even having the ashes in hand can't distract Alistair completely, and he watches Severin covertly as they camp just outside Haven's gates. Broska watches him too, frowning in concern, but all attempts to draw him out are cut short. That silence leaves Alistair all the more surprised when Severin turns on him the second they're alone in their tent. Is it true what you told the Guardian? He demands. The only light is the glow from the fire, filtered through the canvas walls of the tent. It's enough to see Zevran's outline, nothing more.
Yes, Zevran says slowly,
confused. Zevran mutters something in Antivan, low and bitter, then adds venomously, "Idiot boy." What? "Idiot boy." Each word is precise and careful. Knives meant to cut. They might be more effective if Alistair hadn't seen the horror on his face as the Guardian asked his questions. Alistair takes a deep breath and finishes unbuckling his armor, setting the breastplate carefully aside. The Gambeson follows, reeking of metal and old sweat, leaving him in nothing but a shirt and trousers, wishing mightily for a bath. He focuses on such small, mundane things until he's calm again, and then he lies down as if this night is no different than any other. Zevran is still crouched by the door, still in his armor. Leather creaks repeatedly, and Alistair can picture him curling and uncurling his fists. "I meant it," Alistair says, when it becomes clear Zevran isn't going to move. And it's true. If Duncan had lived instead of me, the blight would probably be over by now. There's another stream of Antivan, longer but just as venomous. Alistair waits it out, glad he doesn't understand so much as a word. All his attempts to stay calm likely wouldn't hold if he knew exactly what Zevran was saying. But as it is, the language itself is rather pretty. When Zevran winds down at last, Alistair goes on as if he hadn't spoken. "But Duncan is dead, and I'm not, and I'm doing my best to honor his memory. Aren't you the one who told me I can't think too much about what might have been?" The silence inside the tent is complete for a long time, unbroken by so much as a creak of armor or a single breath. "Yes," Zevran whispers at last. "Yes, Tesoro, those are indeed my words." He sounds tired and small, in a way Alistair has never heard him. Bleeding on the ground, bargaining for his life with Braska, he hadn't sounded this broken. "Do you want to sleep?" Alistair ventures. "That might help." "Unlikely," Zevran says. But he takes off his armor and lies down beside Alistair, not touching him. Alistair stays awake, waiting, and he isn't surprised when the nightmares come. He's quick to reach out, to touch Zevran's arm as soon as his breathing shifts, and equally quick to dodge backwards when Zevran tries to hit him. "Zev," he murmurs. Zevran collapses back to his bedroll, his hands covering his face. "My apologies," he says, voice muffled by his palms. "I quite forgot where I was." There are a lot of things Alistair could say to that, but he stays quiet and simply lies down again, resting his head on Zevran's shoulder. After a while, one of Zevran's hands drops down to stroke his hair, and neither of them mentions the unsteady rise and fall of Zevran's chest. The next night, Alistair curls close around Zevran as soon as they lie down. His hand marks its usual path down Zevran's ribs, stroking over the scars he knows better than he knows his own. "Tell me about the crows," he says. And Zevran does. Later, Alistair is a little sorry he asked, but not at all sorry that Zevran told him.